My grass isn't crunchy anymore.
Nope, should be green and nice. That's the good news. It doesn't take much to bring it back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And some sunshine this weekend. We'll give it one more little
Get the mums going.
Hey, you can have your mums. I still have daisies that are growing. Take that. How about that?
Dandelions.
Yep. Uh-huh. Gardening Up Close continues next Thursday morning as Keith and I get together at 7 o'clock. It is this Thursday morning, though, just after 8 o'clock. We always get caught up with Keith and Sue Wanzer, who will serve on the MCCSC school board. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I still have some tomatoes in my garden.
Awesome. Great
and
to
I
hear.
And I certainly have chili peppers. But
well, all you need, let's see, is a little onion, and you've got salsa, and we're ready to go.
Exactly. Can it.
Let's put it in the jar, and we'll see you in the springtime, right?
Oh, I'm past my canning days, believe me.
You are?
Me.
All right.
Well, it's so much work.
Well, don't be one of those people that put tomatoes in somebody's trick-or-treat bag like somebody puts apples or gee whiz. We want to get healthy. We wouldn't be trick-or-treating, for crying out loud.
No, we do candy all the way.
That's the good news. Keith and Sue, as we mentioned, both serve on the MCCSC school board. And tomorrow is Friday the 13th. Let's just start right there. Auxilio, that's the
deadline.
They turn in their keys.
I guess.
You rip up the contract. What's going to be the procedural in this moving forward, Sue?
Well, I think the procedural probably has already occurred with the notice that October 13th, the contract has ended with Auxilio. They've been renting our buses, so our buses are our buses. The employees who they have will no longer be driving for Auxilio. I believe that they are, of course, free to go apply for any other jobs they want, including MCCSC bus drivers. So, starting when that contract ends, which would mean on Monday, MCCSC will be totally taking over all of our bus routes except for a few, one that is an individual contract driver, and then a few that are a small fleet run by one of our contract drivers, and it's a few buses. But other than that, it's going to all be MCCSC all the time, and we're going to be responsible for the buses and the drivers and the routes. And we hope that this will be much, much better than the improvement we thought we were going to make by trying to find additional drivers through a transportation company.
Now, are you going to try another transportation company, or are you going to take this back over just like you had a year or two ago?
Glass, thanks for the question. In my opinion, and I think, I'm not going to speak for Keith, I'll let him speak, but going forward, I believe we're going to do this ourselves. We went with a transportation company thinking that they could help us find drivers. It's funny, I was just listening to the news yesterday. I don't know what they were talking about. It was something else. Oh, the coal industry coming back and the fact that coal will never come back. And they're talking about truck drivers. There aren't enough truck drivers. People don't
Right.
want to drive. So the shortage, and we've known this shortage, has been around all over the place. And obviously, this company couldn't help us find drivers. We're finding drivers now as we increase the salary. So as far as I'm concerned, we're going to keep this, and we're going to do it the way that we think is best. And that's making sure that we have timely routes and we get kids to school and home safely and on time.
Well, and the other part, Sue, is there aren't exactly a lot of companies beating the door down to get these contracts,
no.
as we've seen statewide. It's not just a Monroe County situation.
No, when I was in Maine, I saw a big ad for bus drivers in Maine. So it really is everywhere.
And you wouldn't, to your point about the trucks over the road and all of that, there wouldn't be all this talk about driverless trucks on the highways that there is today if there were enough drivers applying.
Right, and who knows which is affecting which. Maybe people don't want to become drivers anymore because they see this as an antiquated industry that at some point isn't going to need them. So, yeah, the whole thing about, you know, what the future jobs are going to be, and I know you always talk about that, Keith, things that we haven't even thought of yet. So the future of jobs and what will be actually there for work is really kind of mind-boggling. But we're going to make it work for MCCSC because since we raised the salary, we have increased the number of drivers that MCCSC is hiring.
Sue, speaking of future, let's talk about something that is going to affect the future of MCCSC, and that's a Lilly grant that's on the front page of today's paper, and it's going to help. And there are other schools that have gotten these. Lilly's been very generous in doing this, but MCCSC is using the money in kind of a different way. These are all counseling-related grants. Talk about that a little bit and your view of this.
Well, you know, yeah, this is great. And the first round was a feasibility study, and MCCSC used that money to look at what was possible if we got an operational grant, which we did. So that's going to increase. It's going to help our school corporation by increasing counseling services, and whether that's a kindergartner or a 12th grader, we know that's all different. For younger kids, it might be teaching kids how to be kind or how to work with somebody else. For high school students, it's probably going to be more about mental health and stress and pressures of growing up and drug and alcohol abuse and different things like that so that we can intervene with kids. You know, we know, we've talked about this for years, Keith, you know this, that for decades we haven't had local mental health facilities or centers or assistance, and public schools have really pretty much taken on that role of taking care of kids, and there's no complaint there, but there's not always the money to be able to do it. We really need more social workers and counselors. So now, with this grant, which is over $1 million, which to me is just mind-boggling, and we're so grateful to Lily and Jan Bergeson, Becky Rose, our Director of Student Services, and Carol Gardner, who works with our grants, worked really hard on this. Dr. Marque Winston, our new assistant superintendent, will be coordinating this, and I just think there's just, who knows what could happen with this. All of the great positives as a result of Lily's generosity, just knowing that they thought it was important that we attend to mental health and counseling of our students.
And Sue, with this money, how long does it last? How does this work out? How often do these grants come about? Tell us about the system.
You know, this was something new from Lily, as far as I know. And in 2016, that's when they offered money for feasibility studies, which we took that money, or we were accepted to do a feasibility study. And then that led to the grant proposal for the over $1 million. And I believe it's a four-year cycle. And as far as I know, this is the first time this has happened. Now, you know, Lily Foundation, you know, funds our community foundations in all the counties. What a generous organization. And hopefully, if this goes well, because we will be working with IU to monitor and to help coordinate what is happening and to collect data and to really ensure that this money is being used in a productive fashion. Hopefully, if it's all very productive, Lily will want to continue it.
Well, let me read from the actual grant part of it, and that is that MCCSC is saying that the goal is that with the training this grant's going to make possible, MCCSC employees will be able to put the tools and assessments in place and continue expanded care for students after the grant expires. So it's kind of a seed grant to get in place the kinds of things that will help our students for years to come.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think it's fantastic. It's just, you just want it to go in perpetuity.
Yeah.
But that's...
Well, and Sue,
right,
you said something, and I think it's crucial. The kids, you know, and all the things we talk about, the hormones and all the other things that are going on, their lives, single-parent families and all this, it's a kind of a miniature picture of what's going on in the real world, and I don't think people have a good feeling of what our kids are going through on a regular basis.
Kids are in the real world. They deal with all that stuff.
Right. And, you know, the county recently did a South Central Indiana Opioid Summit, and Becky Rose from MCCSC was part of that. And recently I've seen on Facebook parents posting about their concern about the drug usage, that they believe it has increased with kids. So, I mean, so there are a lot of things that we need to pay attention to, and certainly we can't control everything, but we can certainly intervene and help with kids and their families. And this is just the beginning. And I hope, I know this wasn't intended to hire more people, but we can't always have our teachers, can't keep adding to what they're doing and what they're doing. So I do hope that we'll be able to get more social work staff.
Yeah, and that's the positive side of this.
Who can help with that.
to take some of the pressure off the front line. Absolutely.
So, right, exactly.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both check in from the MCCSC school board every Thursday morning.
Now, Sue, another issue that came up this week is we saw the grades of what the schools got. We're going to learn, I think, in November what the school system itself got. But Mike sat here and said, well, look at the grades. You can figure out what the school system grade ought to be. But you can't really figure out stuff because some schools did well statewide, now I'm talking about, and other schools, and it's like, okay, talk about this grade thing because you have some theories about it.
Well, okay.
Let me get
Indiana
my pen
Coalition.
Out. Let me get my pen out here. I want to make sure I'm keeping track. I want to keep track of this because every time we talk about anything from the state and things and the way they get scores together, put things together, it's very complicated. So I want to make sure that my whiteboard. Hold on, let me get my keys out of my pocket here and get my crayon out so I can keep track of this. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to
make it even more complicated.
Fine.
The Indiana Coalition for Public Education took a look at, and part of this was an article that was in the HT, when the HT reported the percent of passing for English language and math. That's how the grades are figured for elementary. Well, in the paper, it said Seven Oaks scored 37% passing. And, you know, I don't care what the grade is, because, you know, I don't like these grades, so I don't think that grade reflects anything. However, a 30% passing for other schools would have been an F, but Seven Oaks got an A because they were measured only on the growth score. So the state of Indiana is looking at the growth of students plus achievement. But for schools that are 3 years or less in existence, 3 years or less, they can choose to have a growth-only score.
Makes
sense.
So
if it's a growth-only score, apparently what happened was 20% of new charter schools got an A. Who wouldn't have gotten an A? So the Indiana Coalition for Public Education talked to the Department of Education and said, tell us what the MCCSC elementary schools would have been had we only looked at growth. Fairview would have had an A. Every elementary school except for two would have had an A if we looked at only the growth scores. So once again, I don't know what it is exactly the state wants to measure or why. So the state is awarding grades based on different criteria.
Right.
So that's very concerning to me, and one more reason why I don't think we should be using a letter grade for schools, because there's so much, you know, I don't know what's going on at Seven Oaks. I can look at a 30% pass rate and say, oh, that's really horrible. Or I can look at their A grade and say, oh, that's really good. Or say, hey, there's a whole lot of other things
Just like everything else, the answer is probably somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a school that's 95% and then goes to 93%, then they're not progressing. They're not achieving. They're going backwards.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And then the question is, if my growth rate is an A, how do I grow anymore? I mean, we've talked about this before. Glass
thousand times,
said that. If I'm at 99%, how do I grow more? And so then do I get an F?
I think the point is they don't care that those schools, they don't need those schools to grow anymore. They've grown.
Except we're giving teachers raises based on the grades.
Well, if you wanted to be a teacher and work the system, then you'd go to all these other places where you'd go
and
there in year two and hope you catch the rise on that. So I don't think people are gaming the system in that sense. I think this is, who do these grades benefit, Sue? Who are these grades appeasing? Who are these numbers? Like you said, go ahead.
That's the perfect question, Glass. The grades are appeasing and satisfying our state legislature, so they can say, this school hasn't achieved for this many years, so we're going to come in and take it over.
Why do states want to take schools over? I don't understand that.
Because they can get a private person to come in, and there's money in that. You know, I can come in and take over a school system and earn money from the state, and so it's free enterprise, capitalism, and all the other things.
And we could do a whole show just on this, Glass, but Keith is right. There is a lot of money, and there's a lot of lobbying money being paid to state legislators, not just in Indiana, but Florida is a classic state and other places. So they're kind of responsive to those folks. And Keith is right. People come in and take over, and they make money. And one of the ways some of these takeover academies make money is they put kids on computers with very few instructors, so they don't pay a whole lot in salary. They pay a little bit more in capital. And then they make money because then the state pays them what they would have paid the other schools, the $5,000 whatever per student. And there's money to be made.
Sue, we're running out of time, but there's a work session next Thursday. And
what's involved?
Yeah.
At 5:30, we are going to talk about, we've had a group from the community approach us about redrawing our school board districts. That's the districts for school board candidates. It has nothing to do with anything else, just the districts from which we run. For instance, my district is twice as large as districts like Keith's or a couple of other districts. So they want to look at that and equalize population. We're also going to talk about, I think, the DACA statement that we had worked on at one time and revisit that because we've had some people come to us about that. So it's a work session. It's at 5:30. People are welcome to come listen to what we talk about.
But they can only listen, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Well, we want to make sure they're aware of that so if somebody has
something to say or an opinion
on that, there's not a public
regular school board meeting for that.
You have to wait for that,
right,
which is coming up a week from.
That's right.
To see 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th. Yes, I got to make
it. Tuesday.
Fourth Tuesday. And sometimes it is the last.
So people can be in the know if they come and listen, and then they can talk to us at another time about what they heard.
Excellent. All right, Sue, good job on the information. As always, we appreciate Keith. Thank you as well for your time this morning, and we will hear from you. When is your work session one more time?
Next Thursday.
It's a week. Now, it's a week from tonight. It's a Thursday, so that's a different time.
Good. So next Thursday, you guys will remind us of that again, so we'll be ahead of the game anyhow. Okay.
We needed to schedule some time with Tom Bunger, our attorney, to talk about this redrawing the lines.
The original.
So we did it at his convenience.
The original drawer of the lines is back for more, so that's good as well. All right, Sue, good job as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSC school board and keep us in tune on local education issues weekly. The one question I didn't ask, which I probably should have, why are they holding these grades till November if they've had them for two months?
It's the school grade because the schools can appeal
what
the individual schools got. I said that wrong. It's the system grade, like the corporation.
Yes.
As opposed
to
the individual
schools. So your
corporation
can say, hey, wait a second.
Right.
We thought we were doing a good job at Keith Klein Elementary. Why'd you give us this grade?
Why did we get a C instead of an A?
They want to hear about all that before they get that out there.
The appeal.
So if you're wondering why, that's your why to that question there.